Hello, welcome to another fair game. That's not it, Mike.
Fair game podcast.
There you go. How are you, Mike?
Sure it is. I'm good, Lily. How are you?
Very well.
Excellent.
So, we have a guest. Well, we shouldn't call him a guest.
Family member.
Family.
Today, my good friend Mark Headley joins us, the author of the funniest book, if you can call funny, about escaping Scientology, Blown for Good, and an all-around expert who has a photographic memory for faces, names, and places. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Hi, Mark Headley. So before we started recording, you said that you listened to all the episodes to your latest trip to D.C., and you said that me and your wife, Claire, were complaining about you. In what way?
I don't remember if it was complaining. I just remembered that we actually, Mike and I, were in a supermarket, and somebody that knew me came up to us and said that he was a big fan. We, you know, Mike and him talked, and then he said, yeah, I just listened to the last podcast where you guys were dishing on Mark. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, oh, you haven't heard it? I'll let you listen to it. So then on my trip, I was listening to it. It was the one where Claire was talking about where she had written reports on me.
Yes. Oh, I see. Yes, yes, yes.
Right? Unbelievable. And it is. And where you wrote reports, you admitted to writing many reports on Angelo.
Yes.
And I just wanted to state for the record, I never wrote a single report on her, ever. Never once did that happen.
That is why Dave Miscavige, COB, never really saw you fit to be with Claire, because you never got with the program, buddy.
I wasn't a rat-think bastard.
Well, then you weren't a Scientologist, Mark, and that seems pretty clear to me now.
Yeah, well, you know, I did, and I also did bond with you over the J&D victims that we were. We were often accused of that. Rightly so.
Now, for those of you who don't know what J&D is, that's joking and degrading. L. Ron Hubbard wrote a policy called joking and degrading. And this is why you can't have a sense of humor in Scientology, because you get this policy thrown at you. I remember one time I was making a joke about Tom Cruise, and I got a report written on me that I was a joker and degrader.
Yes, I had many, many reports written on me for joking and degrading. That was a popular theme.
Mike, will you put that up on your on the blog?
Yep.
Okay, we'll put that policy up for you guys to see, you jokers and degraders.
Not a lot of comedians in Scientology.
No, and it's funny, you know, rude. One of the reasons why I think meeting the former person that he was, Marty Rathbun, when I first met Marty at Celebrity Center at an event, I said something about like, oh, sometimes I get in trouble because I'm considered a joker and degrader. And he goes, well, you wouldn't be a comedian then, right? I mean, you wouldn't be doing your job. And I was like, thank you. Like,
yes.
Was like the one. Yes, that was before he became another person. But anyway, all right, let's talk about what we're talking about today.
Yes. Scientology and the internet.
Oh, let's do it.
It's such a broad-ranging subject, and it came up partly because we talked to Andreas Helder-Lund recently, and
yes.
He was one of the pioneers of internet activism against Scientology, and the internet has been a very, very sore subject for Scientology for a long, long time.
Sure.
But it's also...
because there's information there.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's also something that they have increasingly used in their fair game assaults against
all of
people
us.
Like yes. Those on this podcast today.
Yes. We all have very, very good websites put up about us. But, well, you know, when we were at the... So I was at the M base from 1990 to 2005. And when we were at the Int base during the 90s, Scientology pretty much had thought they figured out how to game the internet. And they had this thing where they would basically just set up as many sites as they could, as many Scientology sites. And the way you do that is you buy what's called a domain. So if you have the Scientology.org. That is a domain. But Scientology set up domains for every single possible thing they could set up domains for. So ScientologyFlorida.com, ScientologyOhio. As many organizations as they had, they'd set up a domain for those. And then those domains would point to the main Scientology website domain, which I think is Scientology.org. And in the early days of the internet, that's how Google sort of ranked sites. So as many sites that pointed to another site, the site that they were pointing to would get the top search result if you searched Scientology on Google. And a lot of people knew this, and so they did what was called Google bombing. And this was a thing in the late 80s and 90s where you just set up as many sites as you can, direct them to the site you want to get the number one search result, and bingo, you get it. So Scientology, and they basically have never, I don't think they've ever abandoned that system, even though I would say by the mid-90s, Google had basically changed their algorithm and changed how their search results worked, so that isn't the case. And I think since then, they just pay Google advertising money to raise their sites to the top of the list as much as they can. But they had another way of doing this, which was they had a program. I want to say it was in the mid-90s, maybe almost near the end of the 90s, where they would have Scientologists set up their own websites, and it was called My Scientology. It was a My Scientology page, and it would just say, "Hi, my name is Mike. I'm a Scientologist. I like, you know, fishing and long walks on the beach," and then that would point
romantic candlelit dinners.
Yes, I like going to course every night, 7 days a week. I enjoy writing knowledge reports on my spouse, you know, whatever you would write on your page. And then that page would point to the main Scientology page.
Right.
But the thing a lot of Scientologists may or may not have known is that you would get a CD to install that, to basically set up your website. And in that CD was a software program that put a filter on that person's computer. That would not allow them.
Yeah, Mark, you did.
Yes.
Pedley. You didn't know this?
Mark,
you did not know this?
Pedley. Mike Rinda. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, this is a real thing.
Isn't this illegal activities?
Well, officially,
no.
If you install it on your computer, it's basically like Scientology hacked their members.
Right, but you're unwittingly doing it. You're not, Scientology is not saying, listen, on this CD, when you install it, know that we are filtering and following what you're, you know. Wow.
They didn't, but I'll tell you what they did say. They did say that by popular demand from science, this is actually on the package of the CD. It says, this is a quote. By popular demand from Scientologists, a program has been developed to prevent you from being subjected to N-theta.
Explain what N-theta.
And it basically is anything that says anything bad about Scientology.
No, it's anything N-theta. That says the truth about Scientology.
Well, yeah, but that mostly that's bad because the truth is not very often good.
Okay, go ahead, finish. So go ahead, finish your quote.
Developed to prevent you from being subjected to N-theta and hate mail on the internet. This filter allows you direct access to our sites rapidly without being dev-teed, which is basically a Scientology word for nonsense, without being dev-teed by vilifying material, forgeries, and hate messages. In this fashion, your attention can remain focused on the dissemination and setting people's feet on the bridge to total freedom. So this filter would basically block, this is the best, words like Scientology. So you would set up your Scientology website, and if you searched Scientology, it would block all other site results except for Scientology.org. So you wouldn't see Operation Clambake. You wouldn't see
Ortega's site, Jeffrey Augustine's site, Mike's blog.
Any negative sites that had been at the time of the creation of this CD were put on the list. And any terms, Xenu, Lord Xenu, Galactic Overlord, all these things would basically, you would get no results.
Right, right.
And it was actually, I'm pretty sure a journalist or somebody from the, people that are exposing Scientology at the time got their hands on this CD, and it became dubbed Sino Sitter. And that's how it is actually, if you Google Sino Sitter, it actually comes up on Wikipedia, and it tells the whole story of what they did.
Okay.
But either way, this was another effort for them to point sites to their site, but then also filter Scientologists. And I think it only worked on like Windows 95, so it must have been in the late 90s when they did it. But eventually, they would, as opposed to just having sites to point to their site, when they realized the cat was out of the bag and there was no way to kind of lock up the internet, what they basically tried to do was just create as many sites as possible. So depending on the search results, you would get one of their sites. And really in the 2000s is when this just went into hyperdrive. And they basically created what we've kind of dubbed vanity sites, or some people call them grow ops. Basically, it's just a way for if somebody searches David Miscavige, then if there's 100 domains that have David Miscavige in the name, you're likely to get one of those. But if there's 3,000 David Miscavige domains, you're definitely going to get one of theirs. And they have, I mean, Miscavige by far has the most websites dedicated to him. And when I say he has the most, I mean, in the early 2000s, they set up, davidmiscavige.com, Dave/Miscavige, any variation of spelling of his name and his middle name, his last name, COB David, anything. But they have these things on the internet called suffixes. So if you have a .com, which is most people are familiar with, but there's .org and .net and .biz. And so they have all those variations of Dave's name. But then they have them times all these other suffixes as well.
Right. So because if I pull up his name right now, it says the first thing that comes up is his stupid face. And then, what an amazing human being he is. And right.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Scientology.org.
Yep.
And then it goes to Scientology.org biography. Then it goes to DavidMiscavige.org again. IMDb, www.scientologynews.org.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
So basically, they basically game the system, and then they run ads for all of those sites.
Yes.
So no matter what, if you search for them on the internet, you get that.
Right, because remember, imagine you had unlimited funds. Imagine we had unlimited funds to combat all of this, right? I mean, this is an organization with tax exemptions, so they just have this money to spend, like you're saying. Like they pay for these ads, they pay for the, the first thing that comes up with, me or Mike or you connected to Scientology is their sites.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that they've been fair gaming people for, 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's not a new thing.
Right.
And the way if you look at the fair, the references Mike's posted on his website about the fair gaming, it says right in there, Hubbard said in his own words, the purpose is to ruin them utterly. That's a quote. That's exactly what he said. One of the ways they do that is by shaming people. That's their, that's sort of their go-to thing is to shame people. And it's not limited to just body shaming or, gender shaming, there's sex shaming, slut shaming people, gender shaming, mental health shaming, any possible form of shame that's like documented, they're well versed. Yeah. And so they used to do that by passing out flyers in your neighborhood or
accusing you of being a child molester, right?
Exactly. But they would do it in person, or they would do it where you worked, or you know, where you hung out, mm-hmm. who you hung out with, where you lived. And they sort of bundled all of that into these, what we call troll sites or hate sites. Mm-hmm. So you have, and the way they did it was they did, who is MarkHedley.com? Instead of just saying Mark Hedley. And you know, it's funny because I looked, I own the domain MarkHedley.com. I bought it 3 weeks after I left the SEAL because I knew if I don't buy that website, they're going to scoop it up.
Right.
So I bought MarkHedley.com. Never in a million years that I would think to buy the who is Mark Hedley.
Right.
And of course they did. And, and that sort of became the standard because a lot of ex-members were buying their own domain names.
Right.
So then they just made it who is.
Mm-hmm.
And so since I'd say the mid 2000s, they've set up thousands and thousands of sites. Mm-hmm. And a large portion of them are these hate sites.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who has the most is David Miscavige's father, Ron mm-hmm. Miscavige. Mm-hmm. And when they set them up on Ron, they did the same thing. So it's Ronald Miscavige. I think his middle name is Thomas. It's Ronald Thomas Miscavige. It's Ron Thomas Miscavige, Ron Dash, on and on and on and on and on. And he was also like an exercise buff and he sold exercise equipment. And so they've got Coach Ronald Miscavige, Exercise Ronald Miscavige. They just basically, I think, I want to say that it was an upwards of like maybe 750 to 1,000 domains that Ron Miscavige Sr. has.
That they bought and created to an attempt to fair game him, to discredit
exactly.
him, to shame him.
And right. for a while, Ron wasn't speaking out. He wasn't doing anything publicly. He had disagreements. He obviously had horrible experience. He ended up escaping from the C organization and the INT base. But he basically was writing a book. And I think mm-hmm. they knew he was writing a book, but mm-hmm. they didn't know what the book was going to be called. So in pure Scientology fashion, they started creating all these domains based on what the book possibly would be called.
So which was what? So what did they come up with?
They came with if he dies, if let him die.
Oh, and how would they know that?
Because they had private investigators watching him. And so they literally set up websites.
Yeah.
And they Ronald Miscavige, mystory.com. Again, with the name variations, Ronald Miscavige, my story. So just, and again, that times all the different suffixes, .com, .net, .biz, .org. So you have, that's how you end up in the hundreds and the thousands of domain names, because they just do every possible variation.
Right.
And unfortunately, Ron Miscavige passed away last year. Mm-hmm. And you'd think, okay, enough. You can shut the sites down. No, they're all still up and running, even though he's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally shaming him and fair gaming him in the afterlife. That's when Scientology will stop. Never. They're right. still fair gaming Ron Miscavige, and he's not even with us anymore.
Right.
And also, it's Dave's dad. So, like, if you think Leah or Mike are going to get off easy, I mean, his own dad is being fair gamed. After he's passed away, we can expect our sites to be up well after we pass away.
Sure.
If they're still around when that time comes. But either way, at the base, so that's what they're doing on sort of on the external front. But at the base, at the INT base where we worked, you weren't even allowed to use the internet. For probably out of the 15 years I was there, for the first 10 years, there might have been a handful of people that were even able to go on the internet. And most of those people were like people in RTC, like Dave or Shelley or Lou, Larice Stuckenbrock, his communicator or assistant, mm-hmm. whatever. And then I think some of the OSA people as well. And then in the 2000s, it started to be like ridiculous that we weren't availing ourselves of the resource of the internet. So we're doing, we have a resource department or a research department that's producing Scientology events and films and stuff. And we have no way to look up anything on the internet. And so you literally have people trying to research like L. Ron Hubbard's war history and trying to get a picture of a boat that he served on. And we're looking through books and encyclopedias in a library to try to find those things because we can't just go on the internet and search
right.
that.
Right.
So people at the base started to get access to the internet. And then that we also had a filter. So in order to search some, if we search Scientology on the internet, we would get, it would just say access denied.
Wow.
If we searched Xenu or Clear or Space Aliens or Space Cooties or any of that stuff, it would just say access denied. And that,
but
and
there even, would be an alert.
Oh yeah. And then that's true. If you, and I do talk about this in my book, I think there was this, basically the people that filtered the internet were, it was a gentleman by the name of Warren McShane, who's basically like the designated spokeshole for RTC / professional liar. And he was the guy who, he was one of the people that would police the internet at the Int base. So he could see, oh, Mark logged in yesterday and he searched for, you know, David Miscavige beating. And so it would send an alert. If you got an access denied on your computer, it would let somebody know that that person was searching stuff they shouldn't have been searching.
Wow.
And there were like three other people that made one. Another guy was a security guard. And then there was a few other people. But the best part is that those people could turn off and on their filters. And they could also turn off and on the alerts. But the other people that were the admins, the people that would see all these things, would still be able to see each other's history.
Wow.
So this guy, and this is a real thing, this security guard, his name was Kenny. He had access. He was one of the filter administrators, and Warren McShane was one of the filter administrators. But the best part is that on the outside, people will tell you like, oh, you guys believe in space. Like if you worked with a professional, and people would say, you guys really believe in space aliens? And of course, at the base, we knew nothing about any of the Xenu or OT3 materials, the confidential
level.
Nonsense. Yeah. And if you wanted to go look it up, you'd never be able to find it anyway, even if somebody mentioned it to you, because it was all locked up.
And also, if you haven't done the OT levels, you don't even know if what you're looking at is true.
Yes, right. Exactly.
You have no one to confirm that with.
Right.
Yeah.
And the first time I found out about it was, I think, well, we left in January 2005, Claire and I. She left a few weeks after. But very shortly after that, that South Park episode came on.
Right.
And I was just sitting there watching it. And then I literally looked over at Claire because it says on the bottom of the screen, while they're talking about Xenu and all this crazy space stuff, it says, this is what Scientologists actually believe.
Right.
It says it. And I looked over at Claire and she was... I think she was OT5 when we left. So she was well past that nonsense. And I looked at her and I said, is this shit true? And she was like, basically, yeah, it's pretty accurate. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? You fucking knew this shit and you didn't fucking like send up a flare? Oh my goodness. Anyway, so, but you know what the funny, and that was, I want to say that was like in April. I don't remember when it came out, but it was just a very few months after we had left. And that night, I couldn't sleep. Thought, oh, fuck, I'm going to get pneumonia. I'm going to fucking die. You know, because that's what they tell you.
Right.
They say if you find out
about... The reason why you can't let people know about the OT levels, you know, is you give them cancer, they'll die, you know. So even if people ask me, who were in Scientology when I was in Scientology, you know, is it true that the OT levels are about aliens and body thetans and spirits? You know, I would go, no, you know, because in my mind I was, you know,
you're helping them,
saving them.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, Scientology will say, well, if you're not properly set up for the OT levels, you know, like you need to be properly set up. And I think they even made a statement, Mike, recently where they were like, we believe people should be properly set up to receive basically the secrets of Scientology. It's for their own good, basically. That's why we're lying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they said something similar to that recently. like that's people are going to be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's why you should lie to people and let them spend their life savings in this bullshit and spend totally. Their lives and give up their families and whatever. Go ahead.
Well, even when I watched it, and like I said, I was like, oh no, what's going to happen? Well, of course, the next morning I woke up and didn't have pneumonia. I didn't even have a sniffle. And that really sped up my like, you know, decompression phase. Like
That's funny because you needed that. You really need, because you were like, I'm alive.
That's right.
It's so funny that's what did it, right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, ain't shit happened to me. Oh, right. This is a bunch of bullshit.
Right.
Anyway, so then, and then after that, and literally after that, I was like, okay, great. It's all, because if that's bullshit, it's all bullshit. It's, I'm done. That's it. It's good. Right. I'm out. I don't care about them. I don't want to go back. But that obviously that information is all over the internet. The Xenu and OT3, and they have recordings of Hubbard telling the story. It's basically, and a lot of that was due to Andreas, because Andreas was sort of hosting this plethora of Scientology documentation of people who had escaped Scientology and then sent him their or scanned the OT3 materials, and then he got a copy of them, or however it worked. But so then in the 2000s, so obviously they have all these websites. Well, then they start setting up these websites based on things that are coming out on the internet. And you can sort of see like what they're concerned about, and Scientology's concerned about, on what people are searching by the domains that they set up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then a few years ago, basically there's so many millions and millions of websites that the internet started opening up new suffixes. Okay. So instead of the normal ones, .com, .biz, .net, .org, they now have all these like hundreds and hundreds of other domains. And of course you think, well, that's ridiculous. There's no way they're going to do all of those sites times all of these hundreds of suffixes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. They have. They set them up.
Now, Mark, in your estimation, how many of these does Scientology have?
At least 5,000 that we've kind of figured out. It's hard to see. So this is another thing that they kind of screwed up, is that when they were, and this happened, I want to say in the early 2000s, when you register a domain, you can do it privately or you can do it publicly.
Right.
In order to do it privately, you have to pay like an extra, you know, $5 or $10, depending, for each domain.
Right.
And then it just says it was registered under this company, but it doesn't say who, like the domain company. It doesn't say who the petitioner is. It doesn't say who the address or the contact info of the person that's registering that domain. Well, but it does say what IP address is, what IP address the domain was registered from, which is an IP address is basically just like a mailbox or an address of your computer when it goes on the internet. Well, let's say they registered 500 domains and they did those privately, like davidmiscavigegay.com or davidmiscavigekills.com. But then at the same time, they register a bunch of just regular Scientology domains.
Yeah.
And it showed they registered from the exact same IP address. So even the ones they did privately are from the same. Then that's sort of a giveaway that, oh, this is a Scientology bot, these sites up. But then the other thing that they did was, for a long time, these hate sites like the Who is Mike Rinder, Who is Mark Headley, Who is Leah, those sites didn't have any sort of credit. It wasn't anything definitive on who created this website, even though obviously Scientology created it. It didn't have at the bottom of the website, it didn't say this website was created by Church of Scientology. Mm-hmm. And more recently, I don't know why, but in the past few years, they put copyrights on all these sites. So all of the hate sites, they say right at the bottom, copyright Church of Scientology 2021 or 2022. So they're just openly taking credit for the sites that are insane.
I mean, listen, people write me all the time, and I'm sure people write you all the time, saying, how is Scientology getting away with this? And I go, well, who's fucking stopping them?
Right.
Yeah, it's really a money and a legal reason why. I mean, of course it's shit that they have these sites up on us. And of course, I'd rather there not be that site up. But in order for me to take down, and I think I have like maybe 10 domains that they own compared to, you know, you probably have, I think you have 300 or 400, Leah. And I think Mike has probably the second most next to you. Mm-hmm. But I think we actually did speak to a lawyer, and I think they estimated it would be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars just to try, not to do it. Like, it wasn't like,
we all have been told we have absolutely legitimate lawsuits against Scientology and its operatives for libel, for slander.
Totally.
But to Mike's points, first of all, you would have to pay millions of dollars in retainers. Scientology has policy about lawsuits. One of them, and I'm just telling you in my own words, and Mike, you could interrupt me at any time, but the purpose for Scientology to engage in any lawsuit with anyone is just to exhaust you. So they just want to exhaust you financially, mentally. They don't even want to win. So
totally.
Their objective, if they enter into a lawsuit with you, is just to destroy you financially or mentally.
Yeah, yeah, it falls into the ruin them utterly category.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
It's a war of attrition. And
yes.
A war of attrition is won by the side that has the most resources to continue.
Right. And we don't have Scientology money. We don't have unlimited resources. We don't have tax exemption and $3 billion in the bank to play with to take Scientology to task. I mean, listen, we would love a legitimate law firm who sees that, you know, Scientology there's many ways to sue Scientology. Just in the, Micah, we've talked about this many times, the unused money that's sitting on accounts that people can't get in Scientology,
totally.
Of money that they were forced to give. And we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. There's a lawsuit in that. There's a lawsuit in people being fair gamed.
Totally.
The mental stress of that, the people living in fear of Scientology because of these fair game directives. You know, there's many ways but, you know, Mike has said to me, do you want to spend your life doing this, Leah? You know, Scientology will not look to make things right. They won't change their policies. Their objective would just be to exhaust you and exhaust your funds and destroy your life in the interim.
Basically, they just want to waste your time and money. So they,
yes.
And also, so you're spending your time and money doing that instead of exposing them.
Exactly.
And that is basically their end game.
And no one's looking at their sites. That's the thing. You know, they have freedom.
Yes.
Yep. They have freedom media ethics. They have all these front groups. They have the Stan League. They have, you know, Pete at Stan League on Twitter and social media. Listen, you know.
And that might be the funniest thing of all is, so just on the domains,
yeah.
I would estimate, just on the David Miscavige domains, I'd estimate they're spending between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. Just owning the names, not hosting the website and
right.
whatever you have to do to make a website. But then also, they don't get the top results in the search, which is kind of crazy. Like, I think Mike Rinder's blog, which I can't tell you how much he spends, but I'm pretty sure it's
a big fat zero.
It's not a lot compared to what they spend. And he gets more hits and his search. I think it's Alexa or
Alexa,
some kind of
yeah.
site that ranks like the popularity of the sites and you can compare them to each other. And I want to say that between Mike Rinder and Tony Ortega, they blow away Scientology any day of the week in terms
right.
of, you know, number of visitors, number of how long people stay on the site, you know, all that good stuff. But the other thing that Scientology has is, so they have vanity sites for Dave Miscavige. So that, you know, some of the other ones that are great, too, are like Ella Raich's best friend, David Miscavige. Like, that's
wow.
a domain they own. Ella Raich's greatest friend, Dave Miscavige.
What about where is Shelley Miscavige? Do they
exactly.
have those?
So they have a ton of Shelley, mm-hmm. like hundreds of Shelley domains. Even the where is Shelley Miscavige.com is mm-hmm. a website that they, a domain that they own. Missing wife, Dave Miscavige.com. And then the other thing, this is really kind of weird, is they have a bunch of websites about Xenu litigation, which I don't know what that's all about. Like, they think someone's going to sue them in relation to Lord Xenu. And so they have like xenulawyer.org, xenulitigation.org. They have all these Xenu sites. They also have, I think they think people think Scientology sucks because they have ScientologySucks.org, DavidMiscavigeSucks.org. They have, I think, I want to say it's like 17 different domains that have sucks in the name. And then another one is that they have hate or troll websites set up for people that still work there.
Oh, so this is great because this will tell us who they think is leaving.
That's right.
So, who they think might escape over the gate.
So these are the people that, according...
Let me guess. Let me just see if I get one of them right. Norman Starkey?
Check. Yep.
Okay. Guillaume Lazerve?
Yep. They have...
Mark Yeager?
Yep. Yep. They got him, too. They've got Mike Sutter, Mark Yeager, Norman Starkey, Ray Midoff. They even have Tommy Davis. They have thomaswilliamdavis.com.
Just in case he steps out of line. Uh-huh.
Just in yep. case. Yeah. Even though he did leave.
What about Hans Zulli?
I don't know if they have a Hans Zulli one. They
then
might.
He might be two in the fold.
I might have just left it off my list.
Go ahead.
But they have Corinne Powell, Greg Wilhair, Dave Bloomberg, Jessica Feshbach, Kurt Wieland, Lyman Spurlock, Mark Ingber, Shelley Miscavige, of course, Jenny Linson, Sue Wilhair, Bob Adams, and Heber Jens. Those were like the ones I saw that I was like, oh yeah, those are all people I know that work there.
So this is so that if they were ever to escape or turn up alive, they couldn't come out in the real world and do their own website and tell their own story under their own name. It's that Scientology can tell the narrative.
Yes.
From their hate websites, from their attack websites. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I also suspect when we were there, like when they had the whole, when I was still there,
yeah.
David Miscavige would, what could you say? He was an evil prankster. So he would say in a meeting, oh, Mike, I'm sending you to South Africa. You're going to be a toilet cleaner tomorrow. And he would have somebody go off to the Scientology travel agent whose office was like 10 feet from where the hole was and print off a ticket for Mike to South Africa. And then somebody like one of Dave's people would come back into the meeting when he's still threatening Mike to send him to South Africa and say, look, I've got your ticket right here. This happened all the time. He would do stuff like that. Or he'd say, I'm going to declare you. And then a few minutes later, somebody would walk in with a piece of paper that said, oh,
you're
blah,
an
blah,
SP.
Blah, is
yeah,
declared an SP. So I suspect at some point, he set these up and said, if you guys think about fucking me, mm-hmm. then look, I've got these sites set up. That would be a totally normal thing for him to do, to actually do that. Totally.
So, you know, Mike, I think you put up people's books before, like, you know, Amy Scobie and.
Yeah, I have them all on the front of my website, Leah. But what I'll do is for this episode, I will list them all on the fairgamepodcast.com site.
He called Mark Yeager Q-ball.
Now, Mark Yeager is supposed to be a senior executive in Scientology. And again, a man who hasn't been seen in public other than the CNN, which is another one you should put up, Mike, the CNN, Anderson Cooper.
The Inchwives.
The Inchwives. because with Blinky Blinks, as well as yes. Tom Davis. But receding hair, like making fun of people because they had a receding hairline?
Oh, yeah.
That was a big...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He loved that. He loved that. If you were overweight... it actually didn't matter. If you were overweight, if you were skinny, if you were bald, if you were short, if you were tall, it didn't
matter. He has some balls talking about people who are short, but go ahead.
I think because he didn't get into the Lollipop Guild, he was probably upset over that. But either way, yes, he was. I mean, that was just a normal.
And I have nothing against short people because I don't want to be that person laughing and being funny. It's just insane to me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what.
Because I'm short, by the way.
He would find a way to pick on you if he wanted to pick on you, whatever.
Oh, your accent. Oh, man. Yeah. Guillaume used to get shit all the time about his accent because he's French. So he'd spoke perfect English with a somewhat French accent.
Yeah.
But I got shit because I spoke too slow.
Mm-hmm.
I was the DNA of a retarded sloth.
That's what he said to you?
Yes.
Are you like literally quoting what he said, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to remind people we're laughing. You're laughing. I'm not laughing. We're talking about the leader of a church.
Yeah. The thing that he used to, that I remember the most about Mike was that, he'd keep Mike up day and night doing stuff. And then Mike would fall asleep at his desk or wherever. And then he would literally bring in a photographer, a professional photographer.
Well, yeah, this is on Mike's Hate website. Well, this is on Mike's Hate website.
And they would take pictures of him while he slept on his desk.
Right, and then called him lazy.
And then the next day, he would be like, you remember when we were up last night in the edit bay working on the scripts and doing this or doing that? And everybody's like, yeah. And he'd be like, here's where Mike was. And he would literally just throw out a sheaf of printouts of all these photos on the table, and there was just like 150 different pictures of Mike sleeping.
What was your reaction to this?
By that time, everybody was just, we had this thing. I am laughing because it is very funny. It was just called Pie Face, where like you learned not to react because if you laughed, then Dave would be like, oh, you think it's funny? And then if you got mad, he'd be like, oh, now you're getting mad. Like you weren't getting mad when it was happening, but now that I'm showing you, you're getting mad. Right. So it didn't matter what reaction you did. It was wrong. And you would usually end up getting some shrapnel. Like Mike's the one being shot at. And if you are anywhere around and you react, then you end up catching some too. So you're just like, so most of the time when he would do this, people would literally just be blank staring at him.
Right.
And so much so that he started making these little pictures of a face with no emotion on it and posting them everywhere. And if you were in a meeting with him, and he would ask a question, nobody would answer. Like everyone was so afraid of him and what would happen that he would ask a group, a conference room of 20 people a question, and not one single person would answer. They would all just sit there.
You were scared to get hit. You were scared to get physically hit or ridiculed.
Yeah. If he had something in his hand when he asked a question and you answered and you gave the wrong answer, that thing in his hand would get thrown right into your face, whether it was a stack of file folders or a book or a VHS cassette,
a stapler,
anything, you would get hit in the face. He threw a hot dog at somebody in one of the meetings I was in. I mean, it doesn't fucking matter, you know?
And he also abused, not only was, you know, physically and mentally abusive, but he was also ridiculing women constantly, calling them unattractive and homely. And you couldn't even be in his personal organization, right, of RTC if you weren't attractive, right?
Yeah, that was actually a joke for a little while because most of the people in RTC were, you know, relatively hot compared to the rest of us mere mortals.
Listen, you were on lockdown in Riverside County in California, seeing virtually no other human being. I mean, I'm happy that these gentlemen got to see some tits on a porn site for 2 seconds, honestly, because all right. Money shaming. What is this? HIV or STD shaming? What does that mean?
There was a guy at, when I was working at Able, there was a guy they found out had shared, some needles with another addict that was also working at Narcanon. That's basically how Narcanon is staffed.
This is their drug program, by the way.
It's their drug rehab program, and which is staffed by, I would say, 99% of their staff were former addicts.
Well, that's, and by the way, to be fair, that is usually how these places are staffed because they want people who have been through that, who have experience what the people who are coming in experience. Yeah.
And if they do end up getting off drugs, then they want other people to get off drugs you know, so on and so forth. Yeah. But one of those guys was working at the organization that oversaw Narconon, Applied Scholastics, those different organizations. And they found out that he had shared a needle with some girl who had tested positive for HIV. And literally the second the words came out of his mouth, it was like, okay, we're done with the interrogation. And they literally picked him up and threw him out of the building, said, you're out, you're done, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And David Miscavige is super, super, super homophobic. But the other thing that people get that get hate sites are journalists. Like Alex Gibney got a hate site.
Yes,
Louis
yes.
Theroux, Lawrence Wright, Mark Bunker, Tony Ortega. Mm-hmm. So nobody is exempt from getting a little bit of hate from Dave in any one of these. If you talk out about Scientology, they're gonna do something to fair game you, whether it's
course.
A site or
yes,
you know, who knows, but. But yeah, Dave was, I mean, at the base, we saw insane things that Dave did. And that
and does,
is mostly,
by the way. Yes.
And still does.
Yes.
And when we started talking about these things and putting these things on the internet, and we get the sites, they would blame it. And this is a very, very popular Scientology thing. When something goes sideways, it's always the guy who left last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's always the one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a thing that even if you were at the base and, you know, oh, Mark blew, and then you get interrogated, it's like, well, who told you to do? Oh, Mark told me to do that.
Right.
And then,
yep.
And then that's pretty much what goes around is like, oh, Mark was the one who said to do this. And Mark was the one. And now we're all finding this out, because now that Mark's gone, people are willing to say what he did, even though, you know, people writing reports left, right, and center the whole time you're there. They don't think to write it up. But so Scientology, the actual organization did this where, oh, that was all on Marty. Marty
right.
and Mike
right,
were the ones
right.
that were beating
yeah.
everybody up.
Sure. Of
oh,
course.
No, but not just that. We were the ones supposedly that were the source of Rush Regging.
Yes, just like random things
anything.
That you had nothing to do with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are now
I,
that person.
I never had anything to do with fundraising whatsoever, ever in my entire history in Scientology, and neither did Marty. Like,
right.
we spent the money. We didn't go around making it or collecting it or forcing people to pay, but we became Scientology actually promoted this, that
yeah.
that these bad things that were done to coerce people to give money
yeah.
were all Marty Rathbun and Mike Rinder sourced.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Wow. That's
and speaking of Marty, it's funny that you said about, you know, these sites will never come down. Marty's back in Scientology. They still have their hate websites up against Marty.
And that, this is might be the yeah. weirdest thing of all, is that yeah. they made a site, and their main site about Marty, I think it was called Rotten Rat, rottenrat.com.
And that wasn't through the Freedom Magazine?
I think so.
Media
I think
ethics.
It was kind of like,
yeah, okay.
I think it was like a co-opted,
okay.
like it was
okay. yeah.
Freedom plus Stand or, you know, whoever, yeah, yeah. whatever phony front group they wanted to do. But so they had that website. And then meanwhile, for many years, Marty had his own website, and they made a website that looked just like his website. So it had like the same kind of banner at the top, and it was a very similar looking site, but it was their site, not his site. So if you wanted to go on Marty's site and post something, then you might actually be posting on their site and not
right.
Marty's site.
Right.
But then, so then you have this thing where that movie, My Scientology Movie,
mm-hmm.
came out, and mm-hmm. right, I think right, either right after it came out or right before it came out, Marty sort of switched his stance. And then you have Marty basically talking shit about the movie, but he's in the movie. And
yeah.
so you've got the movie where he's talking shit about them. And now you've got Marty talking shit about the movie.
Yeah.
And then eventually he just did that for everything. So everything he said on his website, he now has a different version.
He has a counterpoint.
He has
the exact opposite. Yes.
to him.
To himself. He's battling himself.
That's right. And so this is the craziest thing.
And it's
thing.
So crazy that you see his videos. He's so amped up. He's so riled himself up. Like having imaginary conversations with people.
Oh, and he's got all these with
himself,
theories.
But there it's with himself.
Yes. And the best part is all of this stuff is still up.
Right.
So you have him talking shit about Scientology, and then you have him defending Scientology and talking shit about the people.
And then you have Scientology talking shit about Marty, and then they all of a sudden stopped present time. However, they still have their sights up about him.
Right.
That's right. And it is literally insane.
Well, Mark, I have a question for you. Two questions, actually. Yeah. One is, our listeners always say, what can we do to help? Is there anything that people can do about these sites on Twitter, on Instagram, on that people can do to help? I mean, listen, if I had the answer, I would have already done it. I mean, we've complained to Twitter, we've complained to Instagram, to Facebook. They don't give a shit.
I'm not sure what the deal is with Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. where they sort of are complicit to all this stuff. I know there was times where Twitter was taking down some of their hate accounts. Like, I can't remember the guy's name. I think you guys call him Fast Eddie or something.
Oh, Edward Parkin.
Yes, yeah. Ed Parkin. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who calls him now. Fast Eddie.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's vanished.
Yeah, so
his Twitter handle has been replaced by some generic thing. He doesn't show up anymore anywhere.
There's a new one. There's a new one happening. I forgot the name of it. They're like watchers of hate on Twitter.
Oh yeah, hate watchers. Hate and bigotry watchers or something.
Hate. Hate monitor? Hate monitor?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Hate monitor. Yeah.
I think the only thing you can really do is to report an account for abuse. And you could say, like if they link to one of the hate sites, that's an easy, like, hey, this person is threatening or libel. I don't remember what the form is on Twitter, but reporting them is just about the best thing you can do.
So reporting them. Okay. And then the other thing, Mark, if you want to search Scientology or these sites that we've mentioned, Mark, there's a way to do so without being tracked by Scientology. Could you explain what that is? Like, you know, I know one time I called you and I was like, listen, I want to look on these sites because...
you want to go on the site and see what it is.
Yeah, but you told me how to do that without being tracked by Scientology.
Ideally, if you do go to one of these sites, you should do it through what's called a VPN because I wouldn't put it past Scientology to track who's visiting their sites and where what sites are coming.
Well, people complain all the time. They say, look, I looked up something and all of a sudden I'm on their radar. So so go ahead, explain, Mark, how to avoid that.
I don't get paid by any of these companies, but I think like NordVPN, or if you just type in VPN, it's basically a way to search something privately without your internet service provider or the website you're visiting being able to track your identity or your IP, your computer address, or this sort of thing. It's a way, and you can set you can actually designate which country you'd like to. Let the website that you're visiting think you're visiting from. So you can say different places in America, you can say different countries.
But okay.
If you are going to visit a Scientology website, I would strongly recommend doing it through a VPN or a private browser or some sort of secure search method. I wouldn't go to one of those sites without some sort of protection.
Thank you. For those of us who don't know stuff like this, I mean, like, I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do this. I don't know. So
Just don't go to their website.
Sometimes I tell people, like, look for yourself. And I just want to not tell people, you know, like, you should look at what David Miscavige says about himself when knowing this is what this man does day in and day out. You know, but yet, and I just want people to be able to look and be secure at the same time. So,
totally.
Yes,
and if you do get any kind of email or any kind of messages or even mail from Scientology, you could always tape an Aftermath Foundation card to that and send it back to them. That way, maybe somebody finds out about the Aftermath Foundation that's in the C organization or a staff member. So they know. And we have had good results with Like, for instance, we just recently helped somebody escape from the Sea Organization. And this person found out about the Aftermath Foundation through a person that was a non-Scientologist that they had contacted. So the more we put out the Aftermath Foundation and the more we disseminate it, the more chances we have of, you know, and, helping
and,
these people.
And how do people get those Aftermath cards?
I think if you just go to the Aftermath Foundation, is it
website?
Yeah, I don't remember what the
suffix. I'll have that link.
I know all obviously. The Scientology suffixes,
and
but
by
I don't
way,
know the
Mark,
one.
Mark, before we end off, because I do have to listen, I want to say I think you brought up a very important point, and that is about what the Aftermath Foundation is and what we all truly want. Second, you know, first is we're always available to people coming out of Scientology.
Yes,
they know that this is a kind of a silent. Activity that we all do behind the scenes that we don't talk about because they don't want to talk about it, which is unfortunate because a lot of people like go, well, what are you guys doing? Have you set up? Yes, it's been set up.
I know. Well, a lot of these people, if you've been in for 25 years, you're not going to, your first life action is to get your life back together, not talk about all the nonsense.
Right. So our goal is to stop Scientology from taking advantage, abusing people, taking their money, taking their lives, and having tax exemption and doing the damage that they do to people's lives. That's one. And part two, or part 1A, or whatever, however you want to say it, we are always here for people, and we want the same for people out there. If you are ever around a Sea Org member or a Scientologist, we don't want you to attack them. We don't want you to ridicule them. We want you to hand them an Aftermath card or say, hey, if you want to leave, come with me. I have people who can help you.
And totally.
People know how to get a hold of you, Mark. People know how to get a hold of Mike. People know how to get a hold of me. And there is a network of us that are willing to take people in from Scientology and the Sea Org.
And that is a large barrier for people that that are potential escapees.
Yes.
Is that they don't know that we're here.
They don't know. They have no information. If Shelley Miscavige is alive, everybody, she doesn't know that we're even out.
Or that we're trying to get her out.
Has no idea.
Or help her, or we're here for her, or, you know, whatever. So that is... Like, even when I went to the property one time, I think it was with Louis Theroux for that movie.
Yeah.
It was actually a Danish program that I was shooting out.
Right.
They came out on the highway.
Yes.
And I was showing them pictures of my kids. Like, they're screaming and yelling at me. And they're like, you're an SP. Get off the property, you know.
And you know what? Danny Dunnigan or whatever his name is, the security guy, went back inside and said.
No. It was Kevin McHenry.
Right.
It was
who said, shit, I could have fucking left. Even though he was out there attacking you. So that's what I'm saying. If you are ever around or experience a Sea Org member in a grocery store or see them walking down the street, I know this is hard. We don't want you yelling and insulting them and accosting them.
They're victims.
We want you to reach out to them with love and compassion and say, come with me. I know this is strange. Mike Rinder will help you. Leah Remini will help you. Mark and Claire Headley will help you. Amy Scobie will help you. Jeffrey Augustine will help. Like, they know these names.
Yes.
And that's what we really want you to do if you ever are in that situation. And I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because it's so important. And when I see that shit, you know, I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's funny. That's not what we want. We want them out.
Yeah, they're not the problem. They're not the low on the totem. Unless you run into David Miscavige, then give him an Aftermath card.
That's different. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Mark Headley, this was amazing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for all you're doing.
Just to end off, some good news. I don't know if people know this. Some good news. The recent win for victims of Scientology, and I think victims in general, like to be forced to do something so insane, like to be forced to go into a Scientology court martial, which is what the Scientology pretending is their fair and balanced arbitration. But let me just read you what the judge said. It says, this court has been clear in their decision. People have a First Amendment right to leave a religion. And that's in quotes for me, but that's in air quotes for me. And once they do, they shouldn't be required to abide by their rules with respect to dispute resolution. That was from Judge...
that's from the
appellate court. Yes.
California Court of Appeals.
Thank you. That was from the California Court of Appeals. And it's a huge, huge success for the victims of Danny Masterson and Scientology, which should always be used in the same sentence.
Right. Yes, exactly.
That's right. And that's and yes, I applaud the people who are actually actively in the legal battle with them. But I think this podcast gets out such a volume of information on all these different subjects that you will, and even the show, that the fact that the Aftermath show is on Netflix now, it is amazing the amount of people that are seeing that show because how broadly it's being you can access it from just about anywhere.
And
that
all of
is permeating into society. Thank and you. These people are finding out the truth because there's no way for them not to know. Like, you can't be a judge and be like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, well, that's not a possibility for you. It's not a plausible excuse to be ignorant at this point because the information is out there.
Hey, Mike, what's the name of that judge? What's his name? That's ordered Valerie Haney.
Judge Burge. Richard Burge.
To Scientology Court. I guess he didn't read the Constitution of the United States of America, or he has forgotten it. But anyway, maybe he should look into a little refresher course. But anyway, listen, Mark Hedley, thank you so much. Once again, we love you. Even though it seems like I love Claire more.
Seems like we like Claire better. All she does is answer emails and messages.
So, guys, thank you again, Mark Hedley. We love you, Mikey. Till next time.
Lily?
You guys, thank you again. We have such an amazing surge of support recently, and we just can't thank you enough, really, honestly.
Yes.
We love you, and until next time.
Awesome. Bye, guys.
Bye.